So I still have about three tubs that I've sorted and sorted and resorted, but I do have three tubs and I probably still have some pictures. So done with that, let's move on. Mays was a community. It was Mays Station before it was actually the town. Mays as a town is a baby in perspective in Rush County. It wasn't platted till 1884. But when the railroad came, when the railroad connected from the big one that used to run up along Highway 40, connected down to Rushville, the community sprang up, and that was in about the 1850s. And there was a pioneer settler by the name of John May, who was well respected. So Samuel Kirkpatrick and Charles Thrawley were the men that laid out and platted Mays, so they named the town after him. And I think Mays Station probably was because there were several Mays that lived in that area. So the railroad came through, and that changed the area and changed the community. When I presented this in the spring, it was to be a family, mother, daughter, family, mother, children event, and I just mainly told stories. But then after I presented it, I got a little more serious about deeper researching and being more authentic and original with the information that I presented. So I decided to give it a name after Katrina asked me to do this. So I'm calling it a Mays History. It's commerce, culture, and people. And I'm not going to follow a chronological order today. I'm just going to throw out different things. I'm going to throw out businesses, events, so forth, and then talk about the people or the culture or whatever it was related to. Before Highway 3, as we know it, existed, there was Fort Wayne Road or Old Road 3. And you all probably know where Fort Wayne Road leaves Rushville here. And Fort Wayne Road goes up through Union and, actually Jackson and Party Union, a corner of Union, Washington, and Center Townships. And it dead-ended into what is now 900, and our farm is right there where it dead-ended. Then it makes a half a mile jiggy-jog to the left and back to the right, and it proceeded on up to Highway 40, which was the National Road, and on from there. So the community of Mays sprang up and flourished because Old Road 3 went through Mays. My great-grandfather, George Bell, pass these around, it'll be easier. This is a diagram of Mays, and there's a map on one side, and then there's a list of businesses on the other. So anyway, if you'll notice on the east end of town, there's a livery stable marked, and my grandfather, my great-grandfather, George Bell, opened up the livery stable. And just east of town where I grew up was his farmland, and he raised lots and lots of horses. He had big horse sales, and horses were used for many things, and he also raised racehorses. And there was a lot of racehorsing in Rush County. And I know some of the history on that, but there were a lot of good racehorses raised in Center Township, and my relatives, the Bells, were some of the more active racers. So anyway, my great-grandfather had a livery, and it operated for probably about 30 years. I don't know exactly when it shut down, but I'm sure when automobiles came about, were very much used in the 20s, probably from about that time on, the livery ceased to exist. The livery was in a barn on his property, and it's still there, and it's not in the greatest shape, but we still own the property where he had the livery and had a home, and it was a family home. It's been used for over 100 years of various family members and people. A nephew and I rent it out at this time. But anyway, the livery was a very important part of the community. And it provided services. The the horses were taken care of, and they there was a lot of commerce that went on in Mays. So as the railroad came to town, and in 1884, after the town was platted, then business really took off. And naturally, the entire surrounding area was all agriculture, and there was a great need for all things agriculture. There was a one of the first businesses that probably, pretty sure it existed before it was the town of Mays. There was a sawmill and a lumber yard, because the ground was being cleared to farm, and so there was a need to get rid of the trees that they were clearing, and then there was a great need for lumber because the town of Mays was sprouting up, and then the railroad hauled lumber away. So there was a sawmill not too far from the railroad station, you can see on there. So that is kind of the beginning of the commerce. There was blacksmith shops and the sawmill and the livery. And then it really took off from that point. The blacksmith shops, of course, were not only for to make the horseshoes. That was like the local weld shop, because they made some of the tools that the farmers used. They repaired tools. They made the plowshares to break up the land. And so all little towns and little communities had blacksmith shops. The blacksmith shop in Raleigh was ran by my great-great-grandfather, William Jackson. And his daughter ended up marrying my grandpa George Bell. So I'm sure they knew each other through the horse business and had that connection. That's one story I've never been told. I just am making an assumption. When I was a little girl along the railroad track in Mays, there were these creosote posts and pieces of lumber that were in the ground. And we would go to the lumber yard, and my sister and I would go out and play alongside the track. Well, those creosote posts had been huge pens for the livestock. And my dad told stories as a little boy. He could still remember hogs and cattle being driven from the neighborhood farms, you know, up the roads. And they would drive them and put them in the pens, and then they would be shipped out to on the railroad. And so that's another use for the lumber. And then the lumber yard was right there next to the train depot and the train track. I'm going to talk about some of the people that made Mays. And most of these people I remember or remember their family members. There was a gentleman by the name of Bert Benner. Do any of you guys remember Bert Benner, Bert and Clara Benner? Bert Benner came to Mays as a telegrapher on the railroad. He was actually born in Argus, Indiana, which is in Marshall County. But he, as a young man, he came to Mays. And he liked Mays and stayed in Mays. And he is responsible for so many of the good things that were created, that were built, that came about in Mays. He, along with a gentleman by the name of Matthew Morgan, formed the Mays Bank. And in 1907, Mays was fortunate enough to be able to have a First National Bank. And they had started the bank with $25,000 of assets. And as I grew up through the years, the bank was a very important part of the community. People from all over banked, not just Center Township. You know, Mays Bank was a fairly prominent bank in banking and had ended up with a lot of assets before they were bought out in the 80s. So that was one of Bert Benner's first accomplishments. He, along with Mr. McBride, formed the bank. And Bert worked in the bank. He was a cashier until 1927. Well, he was not just a cashier, but that was one of the things he did. And to demonstrate the kind of heart, the kind of person he was, he left Mays Bank because the Depression was you know, right at the heels in 1927, and they were already having to foreclose on people, and he couldn't take doing that. And so he left the banking business and went to Indianapolis and worked for a wheat cooperative. And this wheat cooperative would buy the farmer's wheat and store it and then sell it. You know, back in those days, you would sell your crop at harvest time, and it was dumping everything on the market, so the laws of economics, your prices were low. So these co-ops were being formed in different places in the state, and so the huge silos were built, and the wheat was stored, and then it was sold throughout the year, so the farmers could, it's just like the farmers do today. They put grain bins up on their farms, and then they sell their grain as the prices become cyclical. So Bert was very instrumental in growing this wheat cooperative. But he continued to live in Mays, continued to raise his family there and educate his family. He had four children, and for the early 1900s, it was pretty unusual. They all four went to major colleges. And one son went to Purdue, one son went to the University of Chicago, his only daughter went to the University of Louisiana, and she ended up being a college professor all of her life, and she retired back to Mays, and she has extensive oral history in one of the Rush County retrospect books, because she had lived all over the world, but she retired back to Mays, and she told a lot about growing up in Mays in that book. So Bert went on to be a very prominent person in the community. And then something else that he was very instrumental in, Mays had an opera house. And the opera house was along the railroad tracks. You see it on there.
It's number two.
It no longer exists, yeah. But at the time, it was a state-of-the-art opera house. Beautiful theater seats, a balcony, a stage, lighting. And people came from all around to perform in the opera house. Musicians, thespians. James Whitcomb Riley performed there. And then Mays also had their own theater troupe. And there was a woman by the name of Elmira Rush who had grown up in Mays, and she'd gone away to college and came back and was a teacher. And she directed plays, and they would go all over and put these plays on all over Rush County and probably Henry County and the entire area. So culture was very important to the folks in Mays. There was a lot of music, a lot of musicians. There were three or four families that actually had their own bands. And Paul McDaniel is listed in the histories.
Dad was in the McDaniel family.
Was he? Okay. The Oldhams and so anyway, that was something that was very important to the people of Mays, and there were a lot of people that I can remember who were my grandparents' age who did go to college, and that was a little unusual for that time. But I think that there was a great emphasis on education, there was a great emphasis on culture, and farming was decent for a lot of people. They could afford to send their kids to college. And my grandmother Gray went to college in Nashville, Tennessee. She attended, it was Ward Belmont at the time, but now it's Belmont University. And I know you hear of Belmont University. It's a well-known school now. So anyway, it was just a girls' school when she attended. But there were a lot of people from Center Township and Mays that did go on to attend college. Some of them came back and some of them didn't. They went on and had various occupations in life. Now back to Matthew McBride that helped Bert Benner form the Mays Bank. His family was one of the pioneer families that had been in the community for many years. And Matthew had three children, and he set his children up, he kind of set each one of them up in one of his businesses. And his son Guy was in the bank, and then he bought one of the original general stores from a man by the name of Jansen Dye, and had his daughter Zula in the store. And then they also had the post office, and his other daughter Fern was the postmistress. And so we laugh. Zula and Fern were kind of like the Baldwin sisters in the Waltons. That's who I would compare them to. They were these little old ladies, and they were always together, and they were very modest about things and very quiet. But back in the 30s and 40s, not that many women, you know, ran a store or was the postmistress. And so they were kind of pioneers, and neither one of them were ever married. But I think their father was very influential in seeing that they were set up and they were vital parts of the community, and they were very involved. And there were two brothers, Ray and Bill Hunsinger, and they had the local Chevrolet dealership. They opened it up in the early 20s. They not only sold Chevrolet cars, they also sold Al Chalmers farm equipment. And that building still exists. It's on the very east end of Mays. It's now a auto body shop and a car sales. Barry Wainwright runs it. But that building is just pretty much intact. It looks exactly like it did when it was built. And when I moved to Franklin County, and I would tell people I was from Mays, it was not unusual for someone to say, "Oh, I bought a Chevy in Mays. Oh, I know where that is." So, you know, their car dealership was known for miles around. And Bill and Ray were very, they were very involved in the community and did a lot of good things for the town of Mays. And their children worked in the business. Ray's son was involved in the business, and Bill's daughters, I know, worked in the business and were secretaries and bookkeepers and were there until the business closed in probably the very early 70s. I think it was still open when I left the community in 1971, but I think it probably was closed shortly after that. I've forgotten to send my pictures around. On the east side of Mays, there are two hills, and it's pretty flat in northern Rush County, but these two hills exist, and 900 just goes up over the hill and back down again, and I kind of grew up in the valley. Our farm was, if you go over the hill, our farm was off to the left, but I brought these two pictures as examples of the hills, and this is my grandmother sledding. And it says it's 1920, so she would have been about 18 or 19 years old. And I'm thinking she probably was home on Christmas break from the school she went to. But I brought the pictures to show the hill, and this is the hill that's on the left side of Mays as you're going out to the east. And then this is a picture of the garage, and then the hill that's on the right side as you're going out. And this girl is Janice McBride, and she's Guy McBride's daughter. And she was a few years younger than my dad, but my grandparents and the McBrides were good friends, and they'd go on family vacations together. So I've got a lot of pictures of Janice as she was growing up through the years. She eventually married a dentist and lived her adult life in Columbus. There was another gentleman that was instrumental, H.L. Hancock. He came to town, and Dr. Hancock was a veterinarian. And in my recollection, there's always been a veterinarian in Center Township. Of course, there was a lot of livestock, and there was truly a need for veterinarians. And it seemed that each veterinarian would make sure that if they were either going to retire or move on, they would make sure there was someone to take over their practice. So Dr. Hancock had a business in what we call downtown Mays. It's the part on the west side of town where a lot of the businesses sprang up near the railroad. But then he eventually bought one of the lots that was adjacent to our family's lot up on the east end of town, and built a home, and he built a garage to accommodate his veterinary practice. And so they lived right next door to where my grandpa and grandma lived. And I remember them very well. And Dr. Hancock died suddenly of a heart attack in probably about 54, 55. I was 5 or 6 years old, and it was a very sad, tragic thing. And his wife, Ethel, had a very difficult time with his death. And Ethel just kind of made my sister and I her grandchildren. Her grandchildren all lived all across the country. And so she didn't see him very often. So we spent a lot of time with her of the evenings, and she would make us dolls. And so I became close to the Hancock family. But anyway, before Dr. Hancock died, he knew that he was aging and wasn't very healthy. He bought a property north of his property and built a house and a garage and brought a Dr. Law to town. And then when Dr. Law left Mays, Dr. Toast came to town. And all of us here sitting here remember Dr. Toast because he had 3 daughters and they were the ages that we were. And Dr. Toast was very active in Center Church, where we all went to church, and he was a very compassionate veterinarian. And then when he left Mays, Dr. Phil Orme came to town. Of course, Dr. Orme just passed away a few weeks ago. And then Dr. Orme took in a local boy, Doug Schweigert, and Doug still has a veterinary practice in Center Township. So it's passed on probably, I'd say, for at least 80 or 90 years, there's been a veterinarian in Center Township. But Dr. Hancock was a very giving and caring and philanthropic person, and did all he could do to keep the community built up and do good things for the community. And he also was a great proponent of education and keeping the schools open and keeping the schools active. At one time, there were 3 grocery stores in Mays, but the one that was about the largest and the most prominent that I've heard so many stories on was Doc Henry's store, which is where the store still sits today. The store's been closed for several years. It was a restaurant, Park Restaurant, operated out of it up until just about 3 years ago. But anyway, that was the building that was a Doc Henry's store. And when Doc Henry passed it on, he passed it on to his grandson, Earl Southers. And Earl and Pauline Southers were the ones that operated it in the 40s and 50s and before they sold it in the 60s. And Earl Southers was a character. He was someone that you didn't forget. He was a very nervous gentleman, and nervous and jittery. And his wife, Pauline, was just cool as a cucumber. So they made a very good pair to run the store. And if strangers came in, Earl was just, he was really on guard, you know, to watch his store and to make sure that they weren't going to cause any trouble. And I know the boys would go down there on lunch hour from the school. And every once in a while, there would be an incident, and he would get a little upset, and he would have to run a boy out of the store because they weren't behaving to his satisfaction. And he would not think a thing about picking the knife up off of his butcher table and, you know, wielding it around and making his point. So, but he was very dedicated. And, of course, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, people didn't run to Rushville to get their groceries. You could get just about anything in Mays. Folks grew their own vegetables and had a lot of their own meat, but then you could go to the little grocery stores and get your staples and your flour and whatever else you needed. And I know I tell various people I have an opportunity to about when I was a kid, produce departments were nothing like they are today in grocery stores. And at the May store, you could get about year-round, carrots and celery and head lettuce. And then in the fall, they would have apples and oranges and maybe grapes. And then in the summer, there would be berries and peaches. But you didn't just go like you do today to Kroger's and buy the produce that's been shipped all over the world to your local grocery store. And that's how we ate. You know, we canned on the farm and froze. And yeah, you ate those things year-round, but you didn't just go to the grocery store. And I can remember Kroger's here in Rushville, the parking lot across from Pizza King. That's where the Kroger store was. And I can remember going there, and the produce department was just a little bitty, and maybe two coolers wide was all the produce department was. So it's fascinating to me how life changes. And, you know, it's not for the worse or the better. It's just how things evolve and how they change. And then McBride's had sold groceries, and then up the street, the street that I say you turn to go back to the school, it's actually, I think, called Banner Street. There was a huge old wooden building that the Odd Fellows were over the top, and then there was a grocery store at the bottom. And it was run by various people throughout the years, but the family that I last remember running it was Webster and Dorothy Wood. And they operated it when my dad was in high school. That store had benches out in front that the loafers would sit on and watch the world go by. And a prank that was often pulled at Halloween, some of the benches would end up on the water tower that was next to the railroad track. And my dad would tell the story because he was one of the ones that helped get the benches up on top of the water tower. Mays for many, many years had a lumber yard, and it evolved into a real hardware store type lumber yard back in the 40s, and it was owned by a company, Pinnell and Tompkins, and they were out of northern Indiana. Well, they were going to close it, and the local guy that worked there was Kenneth Lord, and some of you probably remember Kenny Lord, and his daughter Linda Hall is still a resident of Center Township. But anyway, Kenny Lord had grown up in Center Township, had grown up just outside of Mays, and when he came back from the Navy from World War II, he started working at the lumberyard. And he was a very good, efficient manager, and Kenny was such a good soul, good-hearted person. So Kenny worked very hard to keep the lumberyard open, so he convinced Metzger Company to come in and buy it. And there were Metzger lumberyards around here for many years. And then eventually the lumber yard did close and come to Rushville, and then what was Metzger is now Tweedy's lumber yard that's across from the jail. So Mays had a lumber yard for probably about 60-some years, I would say. But Kenny Lord was another person that was so into the community and so active and saw that the Scouts and the Lions Club and some of the various organizations stayed doing what they should do and encouraging people to be a part of that. There was also a man that worked for Kenny at the lumberyard by the name of Joe Godby. And Joe's wife was the fourth grade school teacher at Mays, and most of us had her in school. And Joe was one of the most jovial men you'd ever want to meet. And then when the lumberyard closed, he had the opportunity to become the postmaster. So he just moved across the street, and Joe was a wonderful postmaster. He was the glue of the community while he was postmaster. People would go to the post office just to socialize and just to talk to Joe, and he was always such an encouraging, uplifting person. So he's another person that stands out in the history of Mays. There was also an elevator in Mays, and I've got a lot of fond memories as a little girl. Dad would go to the elevator, and I would start exploring back in where all the feed was stacked up and slide down the feed bags. And you would go in the office and get a bag of peanuts and a Coke. And I think I started learning the economics of agriculture by looking at the board. They had a board where every day they had the market prices written. And the phone would ring and they would get a call that a certain commodity price had changed, so they'd go over with an eraser and write that in. And I was always fascinated by the prices and the change in the prices. And I'd always know what hogs were doing. So anyway, that was one of the learning tools that helped me in life to encourage me to be involved in agriculture and to really understand what it was all about. I'm going to pass around some pictures. And let's see, let me start with the church pictures. And these are all related to church. There was not only Mays had its little community, but the community where Center Church sits today was actually a community. It was Center Community. And Center Church eventually was built there. The first Center Church was about 2 or 3 miles south of Center, and it was actually in a barn, but they came to the center of the township and built the church, and they also built a school in the center of the township. So one of those pictures, I believe, is of, I think I've got one of Center High School. No, I sent the church ones around first. Okay. Let me do the churches. I brought this for you, Debbie, to look at.
I recognize people.
North of Mays, about 2 miles, there was also a community of Shiloh. And one of the first churches in the township was Shiloh Presbyterian Church. There was a cemetery there, there was a school, and there was a church. In the early 1900s, that church split. So they went to Mays and they built a church in Mays. This is a picture of the church when it was being built, and the youth group of the church dedicated the bell.
Christy.
And then this is a picture of the church. You can see after it's finished, and it tells who these boys are in this buggy. And then the back of it, I copied the program when the church was dedicated. So the Presbyterian Church was formed in 1908, but they struggled having enough members, and they were eventually closed in about 1938. The Presbytery closed them. So it was only open about 30 years. And my grandpa and Grandma Bell and their daughter, my grandmother, were active in that church. And then two of the pictures are from Center Church. And Center was 1.5 miles west of town, where I said it was the very center of the township. And Center Church has continued to thrive and is one of the bigger churches in Rush County, and it seems like that it's always a church that has people and has leadership that keeps it going and keeps it growing. But that's where a lot of our family attended and had their roots.
Can I tell a little cute?
Yeah.
We Debbie and I both went to Johnson Bible College, and we would bring kids on. We'd have youth group rallies and stuff like that, or revivals. And one of the guys that went to Johnson came back and said, I've never been to a post office where you put your letter in and it thanks you. Because Joe Godby would say, thank you. And I was thinking about Joe and that I remember that little story that they were impressed that they were thanked for putting their letter in the slot.
I brought that for Debbie, you can pass it. No, pass
our baby
it
sister's in it.
Christy's in it.
It's the Center Church did a musical in 1976 when the country was 200, and Evelyn and Christy are pictured in it. It says your mother's in there. I think you didn't see her.
No,
she's listed.
She is listed by Diana Worm.
Let's see.
That didn't quite look like her, but...
No, that's Evelyn Ellis.
I bet Evelyn Ellis, they got their names mixed up.
Could be.
But then Mark is down here.
Well, anyway, yeah. I knew you two would get a kick out of
it. Yeah, but that's really neat. Katrina said she made Christie's outfit.
I still got it.
I want to study the churches of Center Township more. I haven't delved into that. I know there was the Little Blue Church, and the denomination predominantly in the early years was Presbyterian, Baptist, or the Christian Church. And I don't know of any other denominations, but I'd like to study that. I think when you go to the cemetery, sometimes you can get clues about the churches.
Didn't the Shiloh, the cemetery had a church there by
yes,
it too, right?
Yes, it did. It did. And all that's left there today is the cemetery. The Shiloh church was predominantly the Huddlesons and the Bells. There were about four families
Oldhams.
That made up. There were Oldhams. There were Suttons, which my Grandma McDaniel's mother was a Sutton. Bob, it'd be Bob Hall's grandma.
Okay. So.
And then, of course, the schools had a large influence. If you want to look through this book, help yourself. The Mays Alumni Association has done a really good job of compiling histories. And they start out with a list of all of the little log cabin schools that they were ever aware of in Center Township. And then in 1854, a group of men formed an actual school board and made the decision to build, I believe it's 8 or 10 wooden schools, and they were $300 and some a piece, it tells in here, and they had them spread out throughout the township. And there was one originally built in Mays, and then there was another school added in Mays. Now, the school that we know of now as Mays School wasn't built until 1929, but there were schools in Mays Station and in the town of Mays. And there was the first and second grade was at one time housed in a building on the site that is now the original school. But there was a gentleman by the name of John Good that came to Center Township, and he was an educator for many years. He was a teacher, and he was a basketball coach. He was a principal, and then he went on to be a superintendent of the Rush County School Corporation. And he was very instrumental in the education of Rush County in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And he and his wife lived across the street from my grandparents, so they're people that I grew up knowing and remembering, and all of my family had great respect for John Good. And I have a letter. I didn't bring it because it's so fragile. I have a letter that he sent when my grandmother was accepted. I didn't need to pass around the school pictures. Was accepted as a freshman at Center High School, because that's where the high school was. It was just south of Center Church. And I brought that because it's got the names listed on the back. These two are the same time frame. This is my dad's class, and then that's the elementary kids. And then this is really an old one. But anyway, whether you were opposed or for it, May School was able to continue to be a school. Rush County closed them 2 years ago, and the people of the community rose up and worked together. And that is, to me, that's an example of the kind of people I was raised with. They didn't make a big ruckus. They just decided they didn't want the school to leave their township, and they saw how important it was to keep a school in a small community. So they worked together, and they were successful, and the school is still open today. And as far as I know, it's doing fairly well. Their enrollment increased a little bit this year. But that is, I'm going to kind of bring it to conclusion with that, because I don't want to bore you and keep going on and on. But that is an example of the kind of people that I associate with the town of Mays. When I was a little girl, we had a pastor at Mays by the name of Myron Taylor. And Myron was a young man when he was at Mays, and he grew up in West Virginia. His dad was a coal miner. But he came to Indiana because he wanted to get a degree from Butler Theological Seminary. So Center Church had an opening, and he was our pastor for 3 to 4 years. And during that time, he received a degree. But when he left Center, he went on and pastored many large churches throughout the United States and ended up pastoring Westwood Christian Church, which is on the edge of UCLA's campus. And he was out there for many, many years. He wrote many, many books and was able to come back to Center when Center had their 175th anniversary in 2012. And he was an older gentleman and pretty frail, but he came back and preached. And his preaching was as lively and vital as ever. And then he died not too long after that, a year or two after that. But in one of his books, and I'm not saying this to brag, I just want to close with this. In one of his books, he pointed out that he was talking about all the churches that he had pastored. And what he said about Center was made up of people of great intelligence, that they put education high on their list, and it was important to them to send their kids to college. And then he went ahead and talked about their Christian dedication. But I felt flattered and honored when I read that, to think that, well, that's true, because you know, not everybody we grew up with went to college, but many, many people did, and getting a good, sound education was very important. And I was taught to respect the teachers, and my grandparents, till the day they died, talked about people who had been their teachers and what they had learned through the education system of Center Township. So I will close it. I hope that it was halfway interesting to you. It's my life, it's my blood, and I do plan to continue to work on this and maybe come up with a bit of a printout form, like this is what Olive Godby did in early 2000s, and she interviewed several people in the town and came up, she had a map, I passed out the map of yesteryear, and then she created a map of what Mays was like in 2000, and even listed all the people that lived there. So anyway, I hope to carry this on a little bit and put it in some type of writing form and interview some people to get more information. So, and again, I look forward to being a part of this group and hope I can make it to as many meetings as I can.
Thank you.
That was very interesting.
We're glad to have you as a member.
Thank you.
You're welcome.